CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. Yay! You wait and you work and slog and get to the end of the week. Finally put your feet up and do whatever you want. Look who's here. It's Ben Karpinski, everybody.
Hey. Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. My pronouns are his, him, he.
Yes. Ben, it's good to see you. I didn't think I'd be this excited to have you in the studio.
Oh, likewise. It's good to come here. This place looks amazing now. It's like you guys are like a real business. Like you've got things.
Come on, not that much has changed.
No, it has, Gareth. You walk in here. It is really quite impressive.
Well,
and Gugu even looks like he's at home now.
Yeah, he's settled in a bit. He'll be sitting with you next week, so.
Very good.
Go easy on him.
Don't be scared.
Oh, no, I'm not too scared. But yeah, Gareth, I mean, look at you. You casual tracksuit pant.
Well, I've got to go to the airport later, so.
And that's how you travel?
Well, I don't have meetings this morning.
Well, when you're flying
I'm not going like this, but I woke up at 4:30 this morning as usual, and I thought, I feel like being in alcoholic pants this morning.
So. That's very good. It's actually quite a good look on you, which
your
is alarming
wine
in
pants.
Itself.
Speaking of alcoholic pants.
Don't point at me and say that.
Yeah.
It was like 1 week of my life. Back off.
What are you pointing at Ben for?
I haven't had a single drink, and I'm not planning to, except for New York. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow. How's your Oxsober going?
Well, I've called it Oxoso Sober.
Okay.
So I only started on the 5th, but it's going well.
You are dry for 5 days, Leanne?
Yes.
6 days.
I get my 6th day chip today.
6 day chip, that's the best chip.
Yeah.
That's the hardest chip.
What, today's the 11th, right? So, yeah, it's only 11 days.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today is the 6th day.
I also gave up meat for a week and a half, and I didn't really feel that at all.
How were your number twos after that? Mixed up?
I didn't really pay much attention to them, Ben.
Always pay attention to your stools, Gareth.
Yeah, you must. There's even that lady in
the
UK.
You have to.
You have to poo in the ice cream tub before you start your diet, and she analyzes it.
I always thought that was a fetish show. That woman relished.
She did. Like, she loved
look.
It.
Let's have a look. It was like she was reviewing ice cream.
She'd
she got
smell it. She'd get right in there.
She picks it up in an ice cream tub and takes it. There
was always like a really kind of embarrassed frumpy person that obviously their shit's getting analyzed now.
Always.
And they're going, oh no, that packet of Quavers really messed this up.
And then she lays out what they eat in a week on a table and chastises
them. And then it was revealed she's not actually an expert.
Yes,
there
that's right.
There was this huge controversy.
It was a scam.
She was basically a fat shamer before fat shaming became a thing.
Yeah.
And Gary
Player was the first fat shamer.
He's just a winner. So she would haul these people into their house and go, look at this. This is what you eat on an average week. And literally was like a table, but it had like everything.
Yeah.
And there was no fruit and veg and that kind of stuff. And she would go, where's the fruit and veg, Leroy? And he would be like, and then she would literally march them off to the bog and they would have to do a gourd right there and then. And then the shame was like intense.
She'd open the lid and take a proper whiff.
She would. She'd go, all right, okay, well, I can see what's going on here.
I just want to point something out. It's taken exactly 4 minutes and Ben has brought lavatorial talk back to the show. Here is a very interesting message, which I think a lot of people would concur with, from Tabo, who says, Ben, what do you want? If you ask for your job back, Gareth must give you whatever you want. You broke my heart when you left.
Oh, sorry. Heartbreaks aren't great things, and it was never my intention to break your heart.
Yes, it's interesting. I'm not the only one who's given up alcohol. This is quite something. Greg says, I gave up alcohol for 200 days.
Jeepers.
And I managed that very well. Well, good for you, dude.
Were you locked in a nunnery?
You know, I'm going to try it. Like, obviously, now in New York, I'm probably going to meet up with some friends of mine there, and it's going to get messy. So what I'm going to do is create a week afterwards. You know, in other words, I'll do Oxsober with this gap of New York in the middle, and then I'll add a week into November so that I've done a proper month.
Makes sense.
Do you know how many people who aren't doing Oxsober are rolling their eyes right now?
No, but I don't. It's my rule. It's my liver. I'm going to do whatever
I
want.
That's how I feel.
But I also think it'll affect my wallet positively because the amount of money I waste on drinking is just, it's insane, and I don't need to. I'm not like sitting at home hankering. Missing out, feeling like I need to be drinking. It's weird. You just move on.
It's a very good point. Like, so I don't believe in Oxsober because I don't believe in ever depriving yourself of something. You should be disciplined enough to always have a balance.
But I'm just doing it as a personal.
No, great. And it's good to have these things because that's how you shake up your life, which is what we should always do.
Well, you had that year where you did 100 things.
Yeah.
And it was stuff that was just either testing your ability to say yes or no, or it was trying out new stuff, or it was doing experiences that you hadn't done before.
Yeah, I've got to have those things in my life. Mm. But the whole thing about people saying like October is like the time of year. This is the best time to drink. It really is. You survive winter. You start thinking all these positive things. Yeah. You're outdoors. It's the hardest month. Can't we just have like April?
Someone said that the best month is to do like dry July.
Yeah, see, because it has to be a wordplay. That's the thing. We are so taken by wordplay as humans.
So what we
dry
do?
July.
Dry July. Let's do that instead. All right. Ben, updates. People want to know about Miaz's Hopkins. They want to know what's going on, how your work is going, everything else. So give us the general.
Yeah, let's start with the cats. So I make videos now as well for like a pet brand.
Oh.
So I interview people. I do a lot of weird things at the moment. Not weird things. It's just a lot more diverse things than I thought I would when I left here.
We don't have to go straight to your sexual peccadilloes. We can keep it to the cats for now.
You'll leave the fetishes for later.
So I interview sort of like animal people, and then for overlays, I have to then film the cats, and they seem to love it. But they're doing well. They're healthy. Meows is still kicking on. Still kicking Hopkins' house. He's great. He's developing. And unfortunately, I live alone with the two of them.
What does that mean?
Get that out of the way. Danielle and I separated probably 2-3 months ago.
Okay, well, people will want to know that, so you had to
put people
it
got to know.
Well, people always ask me that. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to talk about her because it's a private thing, but like, so that's that thing.
But you two are not together anymore?
No.
So are you alone and masturbating furiously?
Some days, yeah.
Okay.
Some days.
And you went to Amsterdam and you encountered Hi Rob. And it looks like the two of you had a party second to none.
Well, yeah, obviously I've never met Hi Rob.
Yeah.
So he literally gave me some coordinates / details where to go. And then he just said, I'll be there after work. And there I was, standing with like a real weirdo in the rain with a suitcase outside of his house. And he screeches to a halt on his bike. And it's like, hey. It's like, hey, well, that's exactly who I thought Hi Rob would be.
And you stayed at Hi Rob's.
I did, yeah. He was generous enough to put me up for 4 days.
Is it like a crack house or is it
no,
is it quite clean?
Actually really nice.
Like would a girl use that toilet?
Got a girlfriend.
I think they have.
Hi Rob, and she's like a very nice person.
Okay.
Well, okay. Rob, sorry. I mean, I don't know if your harem listens to the show, but Rob's got a couple of girls on the go.
Oh, well done.
So he had a girlfriend and then we kind of both became single at a similar time. So, you know.
Oh, that was an even better reason to be in Amsterdam with Hi Rob.
So then Hi Rob's like, well, dude, just come like spend some time with me because you got to come see me at some stage. I'm like, good idea, because I had literally had like a little gap where I could take some time off in between shooting stuff. And off I went to the Amsterdam.
So how much did you let loose?
Well, look, I'm not, that's another thing about becoming recently separated / single is that I'm not young anymore, right? Nothing drives at home quite like, okay, go for the world again. Like, well, actually, like, I'm 37. Like, this isn't the same when I was 27.
Mm.
Not at all. But still, like, you know, Rob was a gracious host. He took me to a few places. We had a really big Saturday. I met, like, most of his reprobate Amsterdam friends.
Yeah.
Some of the people there, Rob says, these guys draw harder than me. And then I spent time with them. And then they're like, I can't even spend so much time with Rob. He's just too hectic.
Oh.
So what's the truth?
Yeah, so he's...
Yeah, look, Rob is exactly who you think he is. There's nothing fake about the dude. He is who he is. He's good company.
And is he high all the time?
He went flying into the weekend that I saw him with, and then he sort of leveled out because he started a new job. And I think he is trying to turn over a new forest. So he's trying to be less high and a bit more Rob. But like, you know, that dude went to
I
Amsterdam.
I love him. He's fantastic.
That dude went to Amsterdam and he was literally like delivering pizzas and sleeping on people's couches for the first few months. Like he went there with nothing, but he wanted to make something of living away from Cape Town, which is an admirable thing in itself. And then he kind of like got into jobs and now he's got...
Most
like,
Cape Town people, you've said this before, they just stay in Cape Town.
Yeah. And generally stay off their parents' money.
Don't do anything for at least the first 40 years of their life, and then their parents sometimes die, and then they have to do something.
Or they live off their money.
Yeah. So Rob literally went there on the bones of his ass, like nothing to read to his name, like a few hundred euros, and he made this life for himself. And he lives in this really cool apartment in a very nice area. He's got this French house flatmate who loves very exotic cheeses.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Should have smelt the fridge when I left. But like he's got a good life there, and then he broke.
And he's a really smart guy. I mean, like I sat and spoke to Rob last time I was in Amsterdam, and we had a really interesting conversation. He's by no means just this stoner who
You know? No, like he's got hopes and dreams and all those kind of things that like not normal people kind of have. But at the same time, like I forgot how young Rob is. Rob's like 26.
Yeah.
All of 26.
So did he leave you in the dust and broken after a heavy weekend, or were you able to keep up?
So Friday after a day of flying, he was seeing, I think, girl two in the mix at a house party. And I just said to him, look, Rob, I'm very keen to have obviously I'm here for the whole weekend, so I'm not going to go large tonight. He's like, cool, you're welcome to stay. So I literally, I had a couple of beers and I went to bed because I just flown like the whole day basically right. to get there. And then Saturday we had a whole day where he showed me his routine. So we went for breakfast at this really cool place. And the great thing about Amsterdam is you can walk everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know people say that about European cities, it's like one of those things you have to do, but you can't actually really do it in Amsterdam. So he took me to his barber where he got a haircut. So I got to see like the life of High Rob. We then walked around the red light area, saw some amazing sex toys, but like full forearms, foot-long black cocks. Butt
really?
Plugs.
A foot-long black cock?
A foot, Gareth.
Who can accommodate those
actually,
things?
Well, Leanne, there are obviously called, people who like them, otherwise they wouldn't make them.
Someone with a huge
it's
gap in their lives.
It's actually called the foot, and it looks like this wild man from Borneo, and he's just got the massive cock just there. So we walked around there, and then he took me to his favorite coffee shop to get some hash.
Yeah.
We went to a park, met up with his brother. His brother lives there. We watched the SA Namibia game, had a whole bunch of beers. Because obviously I'm a big beer drinker. Like,
yeah.
I love beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably drank way.
Did that year of craft beer as well.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying this new beer's resolution, which has kind of stopped because I've already found just posting beer is lame. So then I had a full day, and then we went back to this other guy's house. We, you know, had a good time there. And then there's like a lot of South Africans there, obviously. And they went to like a nightclub, and it was a good Saturday. Sunday, I was absolutely like screwed, and it was a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really going on there. And then Monday, I just full touristed. I must have walked about 40 kilometers. I went to the whole museum.
I saw you were in the Rijks Museum.
That Rijks Museum is amazing. Mm. It is such a cool place. But like Amsterdam itself, it's so much of everything. It's also like quite a romantic city.
I love
it. If you want to like take someone there, yeah. It's just I really want to go back. Obviously go back in summer. And also with Rob, like he's no like big peer pressure, like, okay, we're gonna do 17 lines of ketamine right now. You know, he's like, Joel, do what you need to do. You know, so like Gord went there and he lost his shit because Gord will roll the dice. That's just who Gord is.
Yeah. Messages for you, Ben. Do you want to hear some?
Sure.
Quiz says, fantastic to hear Ben's voice. Hang in there, big head. I separated from my girlfriend a few months ago. I know it isn't easy. Keep that head up. P.S. We want a good old sport update, please. Yeah, people have really missed your sport.
Well, the World Cup's a bit of a cock-up at the moment, isn't it, with these typhoons?
Yeah. Yes. What's this new hurricane
typhoon
called?
Hagibiscus. Hagibiscus.
What is it called? Please, just look it up, Leanne.
Hagibiscus.
The worst name I've ever heard for anything.
But it's over Japan, so they should just call it like Hurricane Takeshi or something. Like, get it festive, because it's a shit thing
Hagibis.
To happen. Hagibis. So
Hagibis. You know when you speak gibberish, you go, do the goo, you the goo, wadago, and sathagam, hagibiscus. It sounds like that.
I don't know, because I've never done that, but that sounds like a great language, Leanne, and well done.
So, yeah, so the Rugby World Cup, just very short, is France, England, the big game is being cancelled. New Zealand, Italy is being cancelled. But there's some really cool points being brought out. Like, if New Zealand needed the points, they would have made World Rugby would have made a plan to play this game, even if it had been going back to New Zealand. That's what these guys do.
They make different rules for different people.
I know. In this World Cup, like, I like baiting Kiwis on Twitter, which I do often.
But they're only all locked. 4 million of them.
Yeah, but they're very, very touchy against the All Blacks. If you mess with their haka, they get very upset.
It's but a stupid thing, that fucking haka.
I also think it's outdated and crap. And why do they get to do something special? And everyone just watch them do this whole stupid thing. Yeah. But Gareth, I still think there's a good chance for the Box. They will either play Ireland or Japan, depending on if Japan Scotland gets played, because they're also typhooning this weekend.
Okay. Hagibis.
Yeah, look, there isn't a whole bunch of talk about the World Cup. Like, it's been interesting. I haven't watched a whole bunch. I've actually done very little like in sport.
Don't worry, Ben, we have as well.
Yeah, we've done nothing
in since you went.
What a surprise.
All right, you're Ben. I'm sorry about you guys breaking up. Heal your heart, my friend Michelle, being very serious. But Michelle does want more on Meowsers and Hopkins on your Instagram, please.
Yeah, I'd put more of Hopkins now on Instagram. I should probably get Meowsers back in there.
All right, here's some interesting questions and a seeking of advice from Marcel. Do you want to help Marcel?
Yes, always. Right. I'll help anybody.
I need your opinion, all of you. Me and my wife and my friend and his wife had a baby this year. Am I right in saying He isn't giving the baby his best start in life. My friend is a 1.85 meter, 145 kilogram ginger.
Ooh, gee, that's niche, huh?
And his wife is also a big girl. And then they called their 4.5 kilogram ginger baby Katinka.
Mm-mm.
Oof. Is that a girl?
And my
is
wife,
that a girl's name?
It's a girl's name, yeah. Me and my wife are 1.75 meters and 1.6 meters, respectively. And my wife is hot as hell. And we called our baby Minay. Do you guys agree? I think both those names are shit.
Okay, wait, hang on a second. So Katinka's going to stand out in life, right?
She's going to have
structure.
Two big parents, and one of the father's ginger.
So she's going to have some ging, and she's going to be, let's be honest, structurally larger than the rest.
She's going to be structurally possibly quite unsound, I would imagine.
Katinka is basically saying, you know what, you've got all the lights on you, let's get another flashlight on you.
But it's also like calling a chihuahua Butch. Yeah. But the opposite.
Yeah, I feel for her, it's going to be difficult to be president with a name like Katinka. I've never ever met a president Katinka or a CEO called Katinka. Maybe there's someone I don't know about, but it's really just some parents shouldn't be able to name their own children because they lack the imagination or the discipline to come up with a good name. I've always, you know, Ben, my
cat would have been fine. Cat with a
cat,
K.
Sure.
Yeah, but it'll be shortened to cat, probably.
Hopefully for her. Mm. So, okay, that's dealing with her. Calling your daughter Minay.
Yeah, but are you Afrikaans? Because that's an Afrikaans name, isn't it?
Well, it's Marcel, I would assume. Yes, exactly. He also has like a Frenchy Afrikaans, okay, maybe a Huguenot influence going on there. But if your wife's hot as hell, you do whatever you want, my friend.
Also true. I mean, you can't escape that reality.
Yeah. And send us pictures of her so we can
send
evaluate.
Us pictures of the babies together.
No, not necessary. We don't need to see baby Katinka with the ginger hair.
Full mop already, no doubt.
Oh, my
smell
gosh.
A bit carroty, maybe.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
Earthy.
But like, humus. Like humus after the rain. That's what I'm thinking. So there we go, Marcel. I hope that's enough advice for you this morning. It is so good to hear Ben's voice. Ben, lovely to hear from you. Ben, can you believe it's October already?
Can you believe it? I mean, where did September go? I still listen to this show because between this show and Joe Rogan Experience, these are my two favorite podcasts in the whole world. Like, I've always believed in the show. I always genuinely love it. But God, you have got to get over time, Gareth. I don't know. Like, something's got to have to happen.
All right, moving on. Venetia saying,
can you believe it's already 17?
Yesterday, my 5-year-old daughter learned that her private parts is called a vagina, and she is repeating that word over and over now.
Oh, that reminds me of the Punani story.
Yes, we'll get to that in a second.
Of course it does.
Venetia's daughter is talking about vaginas all the time. I'm so tempted to play the vagina song for her. Anyway, hope you guys are great and have a fabulous weekend. Lots of love. Venetia. All right, so your daughter's obsessed with vaginas. Isn't that interesting?
It's an interesting word, vagina. It does a lot for your mouth, especially at a formative age. Vagina.
Mm.
And so it'll help you articulate bigger words.
Like
so
penis
maybe,
is quite easy.
I think vagina is a great gateway to just broadening your vocabulary.
Mm.
Yeah, I think encourage this. Obviously not around certain people like priests and grandparents.
Not while you're in the Woolies queue.
Probably not.
But I'd say you should encourage it. And you know, if she's comfortable with her vagina and talking about vagina now, provided it's in the right circumstances and you can explain that to her, then she will probably not have issues around that, you know, that part of her body.
Mm.
It's usually people that don't say that, and then they develop a complex about it.
Or they think it's naughty.
And then become strippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Well, it's not ideal. There's better things to do.
As in honor of Venetia's daughter. Vagina. Vagina. All right, very good. Leanne has a story for us about this.
Yes.
Which newspaper was this
from?
Published?
The Daily Sun.
Daily Sun, one of our favorite papers, that and My Zimbabwe.
And it's titled Punani Escapes Flames.
Oh, daring.
Yes. Yeah, so Mapaseka Kombi is lucky to still have a Punani. The 29-year-old from Khayelitsha, Mangaung, spent 2 weeks in hospital after a paraffin heater caught fire and the blaze spread to her thigh and legs. She was discharged from hospital on Friday. Mapaseka told the Daily Sun the incident happened when she was trying to refill the heater. "I hate that paraffin heater. It nearly destroyed my life. I was preparing food for my kids when I was burnt. I was admitted to hospital for 2 weeks. I was in a lot of pain. I can't walk because of my injuries. My husband and I are happy my punani wasn't affected. How was I going to live with a burnt punani? Punani is very important for keeping my husband happy."
Imagine the husband storms in the hospital. Where is it? How's the punani?
Well, he seemed like unfazed, really. The husband, Pule Tlamini, said he was at work when he received a call that his wife was burnt. And all he says is, "I'm happy my wife survived the fire.
Nice.
Okay. I threw the heater away because I've been warning her about it."
Well, you see, that's a good husband. Threw it away. Stood up for his wife. He was interested in her health, not just her punani. But she's definitely very keen to get back into action with that punani. It seems like it's an important part of her life.
It's an interesting slant from a inverted commas reporter on duty there.
Yes.
To really lead with punani over general safety and paraffin
they ills. Do prioritize that, and at the Daily Sun they know how to craft a good headline.
Well, so I did some research.
What is the headline was there? Just quickly.
"Punani escapes flames!" Exclamation mark. It's by Nomathembu Zibi. So I looked up for Nomathembu, but what I was trying to find is when the story was in the news. Uh-huh. So I went to the Sun's website and searched punani.
Okay. And you came up with a whole slew.
Well, just on the 10th of October, which was yesterday, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories on punani. On the 9th, there were 4 stories on punani.
Well, it's very clear what happened there. So that reporter went out just to report on a story. Editor looked at it and go, "We've only got 5 punani stories this week. Let's make this one the 6th one.
Exactly.
Let's get our quota up."
Exactly. That's what happened. But what the Sun also has reported that finally, drunk Judge Mutata has been fined.
Oh, he was Judge Mutata.
He was the Puza judge that went into the wall, right?
Yes,
the
in Puza his Jaguar.
Judge. Precisely. And then when the cameras came up to his
face.
The best Puza shot I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah.
Such a great. He was so sozzled. That guy, he didn't know where he was. He drove through a wall.
Of a home.
And was sitting in his Mercedes-Benz car when the cops came up.
It was a Jaguar.
And they took a picture. Sorry, Jaguar. Took a picture of him in the car where he's kind of, you could see his one eye is looking the one way, his other eye is looking the other way. Mouth is open. He's kind of startled because the flash of the camera has caught him off guard. And his pupils have just started to contract. And then they recorded this because he had quite a lot to say.
Of course, as all drunks do.
And
never been a quiet drunk.
Yeah, so it was great. So this is Judge Mutata.
Nkola Mutata.
Here he is.
"Will you insult me?" I say, "F*** you.
You insult me?" I say, "Fuck you."
The other thing he said was, "No boor is going to undermine me. This used to be a white man's land. Even if they have more land, South Africa belongs to us." Anyway, he's... Do you remember when this happened?
He's got issues from his childhood.
Sorry, you don't undermine me. You've just driven through a wall, you drunk asshole. You've undermined yourself.
Drunk as a judge. This happened in 2007.
Yes, long time ago.
That's it.
12 years later, he's been fined just over R1 million for that exact incident.
"Will you insult me?" I said, "F*** you."
See, like, the real story is the person whose wall got fucking desecrated here
can only rebuild it now.
But like, that's the thing, I've been waiting for this money for 12 years.
Wow. He's probably moved to New Zealand. I can't live here anymore.
God, I wonder what he's been doing
with this.
Drinking.
Not judging.
No, he's definitely been drinking. I think he was suspended. Probably with pay, though, because you know that's how it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't. No one is ever held responsible in this country. We have to wait for Donald Trump and the U.S. Treasury to punish the Guptas. We're still busy with commissions of inquiry, and they've eventually sanctioned them. It's just insane.
What's happened with that Zondo commission? I haven't been following the years.
Who cares? Really? I mean,
it's still going, right?
Yeah, we spoke about it a little bit yesterday in the burning platform.
Sorry, I know it's Friday. It's a bad question for Friday, but like, is it a thing?
No. So, do you want to see a picture of the ginger friend of Marcel?
Wow, he's a Viking.
I mean, that picture's far away from me. I don't have my glasses on, but I know exactly what's going on there.
Well, there's some food in his beard, from what I can
tell. Listen, a lot of women find Viking type people really attractive.
You say Viking?
Because that's the proper way to say it.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. So we've been saying Viking all along, but if you speak to the Vikings, they say Viking.
You're making your family just embarrassed now by saying Viking.
No, I promise it's the way it's said.
No, but it's...
Took me a while to get over it.
She may have a point.
But there is a show called Vikings. It's been popularized. You can't go back now.
And we do say Wednesday. I hope many people didn't mispronounce and say Wednesday for a long time, because
I'm going to start saying Wednesday if I have to say Viking.
But it's spelled with a V. But don't need to be a vanker about it.
you vampire.
What a lot of crap. All right. So, hey, guys, you all travel a bit. I need some advice. You see, there's lots of advice questions. This always happens when Ben comes in. Roger, who wants to know? We're looking at our December holiday. Maldives or skiing in France? Wow, you guys got a lot of money lying around. I would say, Roger.
It's tough, Roger. I mean, have you done either of them before?
You had an island holiday before? Skiing holiday before?
If your last two holidays were, getting a tan, then no brainer, go skiing. Obviously, what you would like to probably to consider, Maldives is maybe a tougher flight unless you're flying private. I mean, I don't know how rich you are. And it's a cock time of year to travel. The more popular routes to Europe might be a bit better.
The other thing is to consider is your age. Rather get the skiing done while you still can.
Very good point.
And then lie flat on your back.
Good point. Another bit of advice this time. This is from Miguel. Miguel wants to know, Ben, any TV series recommendations or things we should avoid? You always used to be very good at...
Yeah, I haven't watched a whole bunch. Eh? I've got to be honest with you. Some evenings are very sad for me. I just want to get away from... I comfort eat.
But you haven't put on weight, Ben.
No, I've still keep.
You've also
together.
You look like you've got a lot more hair than when we last saw you. Are you on some kind of hair treatment, or are you just
being
healthy?
Same old, really.
Just healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But like, it comes to evening, like I've been editing all day or shooting something. I literally sit on the couch with the cats and I watch things like House Hunter International.
Jesus, that's very depressing.
It is depressing, but it makes me feel okay.
We need to find you a housekeeper like Patmore from Downton Abbey.
No, like
keep you company with it.
Look, the thing is, like everyone has good days, bad days, that kind of shit. Like sometimes I'm just exhausted. Like this week I'm actually exhausted. We had our first TV, like genuine TV ad shot this week.
Very nice.
Then I had to go shoot dogs. And then
shot dogs
with a gun,
with a camera. And then last Thursday, Friday, I did 2 days, Gareth, of corporate video filming.
Gee, that must have been. No wonder you got home in comfort eight.
No, I love it because it's so different to what I'm used to. I spent 2 days listening to people talk about their corporate jobs.
Okay, so no recommendations.
Sorry,
you haven't seen the Downton Abbey movie yet.
Not yet. My mom watched it this week, though. Strange flex, yeah.
What a boring series that was. Ben
was amazing.
Loved it.
Oh, I loved it too.
My mom said the movie is very feel-good and worth a watch. Yes.
Is there any rumpy-pumpy in the kitchen?
I didn't ask. I didn't want any spoilers. Any rumpy-pumpy spoilers. I'm just going to watch it. It's going to be great. I'm so excited about this. Even if I go watch it by myself, which I doubt I will, but still.
I am a Ben-thusiast. That's a very interesting thing.
Very nice word.
That's from Eddie. Eddie's a massive Ben-thusiast.
Eddie sends great messages.
Yeah.
Very dark, Eddie. I like you a lot.
It is really cuck that you left, Ben. Go to Koh Tao. I'm off to Koh Tao Island next week in Thailand. It's a really small little island.
I can't go back to Koh Tao. I spent 2 weeks there when I was much younger. I don't know how I got off that island, quite frankly. I'll leave that memory in my dark youth.
Yeah. All right. Leanne is right about that friend, according to... Now we're back to Marcel and his ginger friend. Drinks coffee at work from a Viking-type cup, and he is a classic city boerdoos. I don't know what that means, Marcel. I really don't know people who describe themselves that way, or even describe other people that way. All right. Very good. So, Ben, what else are you doing to fill your day?
Yeah, Gareth, so I think when we started our business over a year ago, literally last week was our year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was a whole bunch of unknowns. So we've been filling in the gap, simple as that. Like when you started this, right, it was exciting because you knew what you wanted to do and you created something. And then it was just basically just work your balls off in the first few years.
Well, problem is, where I am. You know, people expect you to have a whole lot of other stuff going on in your life. But during that first, second, maybe even third year of your business, you're thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
Even in your spare time, which you know, probably have a lot of, because you are considering stuff for the next week, the next month, the next year. You're busy lining things up. You're following up on old stuff. And you're you're probably kind of boring to most people during that time. It takes focus.
Yeah, but it's weird how your circles then kind of change. Like, my business partner is the most incredible guy. I mean, what he does in his own life and our lives together. Like, I love having him in my life. It's a great dynamic. And we have a lot of fun together. We're constantly laughing. Work is really fun. And we just have this amazing rapport. So that's a really big plus. Like, we've got this great new office now. I now actually have like a little studio. Yeah. So I've got like basic microphones and stuff to record voiceovers or just do podcasts if I want to, or do interviews. Haven't got to that stage yet because all about filming. I've actually got two offices. I work with really cool people. I'm now a car driver. I don't bike at all.
Oh, you have a car?
Yeah.
This is a big change.
Mm. I don't bike at all.
Google obviously wants to know what kind of car and blah, blah, blah.
No, did I tell you the story about almost selling my bike?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
To a Congolese man called Lewis.
Oh, yes. Was he paying cash?
Well, yes, for sure. Yeah. So Lewis, sorry if you heard the story. I'm not sure if I knew it. There's so many stories in my life. But Lewis, like any other Uber Eats person, whenever they saw me on my bike, they would always say, I want to buy your bike. And I was like, in the beginning, I was like, piss off. But then I was thinking, yeah, maybe, you know, this bike isn't overly precious to me. Like, when I had no money in 2009, I bought this bike because all I could afford. And I just kind of kept it for convenience and like sentimental sakes. And like, I don't need the bike. It's there. It's like a 125 Honda. It was so reliable. It cost nothing. So I thought, cool. Give me, I don't know, $9,000 for it. And he's like, okay, great. Because like that bike new in this new format is like $20,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, not important.
So he was going to buy it off of you.
So yeah, we kept messaging each other and he said, cool. So I thought like, where can we do this transaction? So I thought the old office is kind of secure. There's a guard there. It's anyway. And then on voting day, I said, well, come around and give me the $8,000-$9,000. I forget what it was now. Yeah, so 6'5" Lewis, lovely guy, rocks up with money. He went and drew like the small wad of whatever it was, 8,000-9,000 rand. And I had the paperwork and I said, you could fill in this form. And then he starts telling me, yeah, but I'm from Congo and I'm a refugee, so I don't have an ID number. But then I've got this other number, which all refugees get apparently. And I was like, Lewis, no idea what that means. He's like, don't you? I was like, no. It's like, no, you must know this. A very odd minute ensued where he basically couldn't get over the fact that I have no idea what he was talking about. I was like, Lewis, it doesn't matter. I'm not too au fait with refugee status. I'm really not. So then we go into this tiny kitchen, which is like the size of this mixing desk. So just imagine there's this really large man counting money with me and I'm filling out this form. And then he says to me, where's this other form? Because I had like my license disc form and I thought I had all my forms. Anyway, Lewis, stickler for the rules, is like, well, I need this form because I need to take it to this guy who then ratifies it through Home Affairs via...
Oh, because
when you're a refugee, essentially, or you're an illegal or whatever, you have guys who do things with other guys. So now this dude needed like a trail of different papers, which I didn't actually have. At this stage, he was talking very quickly. He then said, okay, let's go look at the bike. But Lewis had never ridden a bike before. So now he's like a big man, okay? And this bike is small. Like, I look big on this bike. He is now on this bike. I'm thinking, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. And then another guy, also huge, rocks up out of nowhere. Lewis's brother. Now, he's riding a similar bike. And now he's come to verify the bike.
Uh-oh.
I was like, okay, hi, Lewis's brother. I forgot his name. He spoke very quickly as well. So now I've got two really, really large Congolese men pouring over this bike, which I'm trying to sell for 8,000-9,000, whatever it is, 1,000 rand. And this is on a public holiday, so there's no one around. So now this guy starts nitpicking the bike. He's going, yeah, I can see your radiator was open there. I was like, no, it hasn't. And he's like, well, I can see that tire. And I said, no, it hasn't. I service this bike once a year. It costs me nothing, but I keep it in good working order. Now he's trying to fuck. I was like, dude,
haggle.
What are you trying to haggle? This is the price. Okay, now Lewis's brother wasn't in the initial kind of thing. So now Lewis gets on there. He grates through the gears because he has no idea how to actually ride a bike. I'm thinking, this is great. So now he's just fucking the thing up. And like the suspension's kind of going. He's a monstrous guy. Then his brother gets on. He starts riding a little more competently. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll give you 7. I was like, well, no.
No, sorry. Okay,
guys, I don't need to sell this. I kind of want to. I'm not looking to haggle. I'm not a desperate seller. So he's like, okay, well, let's go count the money again. So now I'm back in the kitchen with these two giant men. And now the three of us, I'm kind of in the middle. It was like this really budget version of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and something's about to go on. So I was like, this is just so odd. Like, I don't need this in my life for the sake of getting an extra 7,000.
But now, how are you even going to get out of this? Aren't you thinking at this point, really, I'd be happy to get out with the bike or with the money or with just my life?
To their credit, they were quite pleasant men. However, this just seemed like a stupid situation because now he's trying to haggle. Now I don't have this form, which fundamentally can't make this transaction happen anyway. So then I go outside and I say, look, guys, I'm going to try to find the form for you. I always thought that this document that I had of ownership was good enough. You're the stuff you need. I don't know. I'm going to have to go home. We'll chat later.
Okay.
So now then they're both of them get on the other bike. But
the tiny bike with these two big
men. Which is already way too small for one of them. They both get on this bike now, and they ride off into the sunset. And I'm now standing with a bike that's had its gears grated. I do not have money in my hand. I just thought, no, I'm just going to take this home, and that's it. So, Lewis, if you're listening and you're still messaging me, but I told you, I don't really want to sell the bike. I don't have that form you asked for. Please stop messaging me.
How flipping complicated.
I know. What car did you get eventually, Ben?
Gugu, I got a VW Golf.
Uh-huh. Which one?
It's quite old. It's a 2010 model. It's a
Golf 4, Golf 5.
Gonna go and look,
5.
Gugu's going to go and look at it like you would have Lewis look at your bike.
Yeah. Gugu, it is in incredible shape. My dad has a friend who owns a dealership in Oudtshoorn.
Wow. They don't get a lot of business.
Well, he does pretty well.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he does pretty well.
The only car dealer in the village.
Absolutely immaculate. It's relatively good mileage for his age. Mm. Beautiful. It's got everything good in mind.
Gugu, would you have done the transaction with Lewis?
Dude, I went through the exact same thing when I sold my bike.
Also
sold
it to an illegal. Refugee.
Hey, I don't know where it was from, but he pulls up at Melrose Arch, and then he says to me, I'm not alone. So I'm like, what the fuck's happening?
Clearly, clearly.
He makes a phone call after he's seen all the paperwork and the keys and stuff. Makes a phone call quickly. This random dude just pulls up out of nowhere. They're both walking. And so this dude has the money for this whole transaction. So we do the transaction.
It's the right amount of money.
It's the right amount of money.
They're not haggling.
No. Well, they did haggle me and I had to give them my gloves. Because something to do with the clutch.
Lucky they didn't take your underpants as well.
I was going to give Lewis the helmet, but I didn't even think my helmet would have fitted him. Jeez, giant man.
It would have looked like a pimple on his head.
And you do have a big head.
I've got a large head.
Yeah. So Lewis must be enormous.
Oh, and Lewis was telling me how he's a boxer.
Uh-oh.
He made it clear.
All right. So
anyway, these guys ended up also riding into the sunset with this bike. And they looked like they didn't know what they were doing. It was the funniest thing ever.
So if you see very large African men on two of them on a bike, the deal's just done. If you see it in Joburg, that's what you got to
do. Thing.
That's how it goes down. Crazy. I love it. I do love it.
But at the same time, like, I would like to sell the bike now because it breaks my heart looking at it every day. I'm not using it. It's just getting dusty.
Keep it, Ben. You'll need it.
A little bit of nostalgia for this morning. Picasso is back in the country.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, because there's a
sex expo. It's not Sexpo, because that's obviously fallen apart. But the Sex Expo is a whole thing that was happening in Pretoria. A friend of mine actually sent me a picture from there from yesterday. Looks like the same stuff.
Well,
we've seen year after year.
John T's probably there. Rutting for things.
Scrummaging around in boxes of chains.
I remember going to Sexpo once and walking around with Jonty. Wow.
Yoni massaging.
It was an amazing sight.
Well.
So I was watching Australia's Got Talent and I saw him pop up on stage. Still
ironic
in his
title.
Bright pink outfit. Listen, he's 70 years old.
Jesus.
Look at his body.
He does stay in good nick, and that cock has seen some things. Because when he's not painting, he's doing other things, I reckon.
So Nicole from the Pussycat Girls is
Pussycat
a guest. Yes, that
Nicole
one.
Nicole Scherzinger.
That thing. Yeah.
Gosh, you sound like Sia.
That
so disparaging towards women.
Oh. You're sexist. All right, go on.
She's one of the guest judges on Australia's Got Talent. And
she sees
him come up.
Judge.
Obviously, Australia's seen him. He is Australian. His name is Tim Patch.
That's course, his name, not Picasso?
Tim? No. He was actually born in England but grew up in Australia. And she was just absolutely fascinated. And he whipped it out and he painted a picture of one of the other judges with
but
the beard.
That's quite something, like, because essentially he's showing his cock. I mean, can
no.
You,
so he did it very well. You only saw the front of him with clothes.
Oh, and then he turns
around.
He would
use a little towel.
He turns around, does the art, and then, okay.
You saw his naked bum.
Listen, you say how old?
70. He's just turned 70.
Because he hasn't even got a saggy ass for 70. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I see a lot of these old men in the gym. You know the ones who they towel it's off no their way, genitalia 70. In front of you, whether you like it or not? These old men in the very, very, very bad asses.
But he's kind
and of... I've often thought about, like, I really hope, no matter what I do in my life, that I'm not punished with a saggy ass like these guys in the gym.
Squats. Just Jesus. Get them in. But, that, but he's got like a genuine six-pack for a 70-year-old.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Good for you, Picasso. I've got a portrait.
He has Picasso
full of paint, but
well done.
Even his face doesn't look bad.
Yeah, he does, you he have does look Picasso. Like Meryl Streep from the shoulders up.
Yeah, but that's
and
that's
we
an
need to
thing.
Remember, Gareth, that you have a Picasso
I do.
Portrait
I,
of yourself.
I'm very proud of it. It is in the storeroom.
That's weird. Why would you not display that? Like, that's a one of a kind. There's
you think
no,
it should go up on the walls?
Well, how many other Picasso portraits of Gareth Cliffe are there in the world? You have a one of one.
Anyone who goes to Sexpo can really get theirs.
You're not going
to
get a you.
Oh, right.
You have a one of one piece of art.
All right, fair
I do
enough.
Like the Sun's title, though, the Daily Sun.
Not the Daily Sun, South Africa.
South Africa. This is South Africa. Picasso paints with his 4-5.
Oh, with his 4-5.
To be fair, it is a bit of a 4-5. I've seen him in a work. He's got not got the biggest brush, but it's very capable.
Listen,
and remember, he also uses his scrotum and his bum.
Okay, the end. It's taking it too far.
You know, we were having a nice conversation.
Why? Would he tries to be a bit more Monet-like? Does he use his scrotum?
Well,
why
first uses his bum.
Why do you have to? Why do you have to take things
base.
To the gutter and use scrotum? We were having a nice conversation.
Yeah, just keeping it about the penis.
Everyone was having fun, and you have to bring up scrotum.
I'm not offended by the word scrotum.
Oh,
clearly.
Maybe moist scrotum.
Yep, these are the months for moist scrotums. Warning you now.
And swass. It is that time of year, right? There's going to be a lot of swass around now.
So, Gareth, what's happening with...
What do you want to know, Ben?
One thing that frustrates me about the show is that no one takes you on about anything.
Okay,
go on. They don't question you.
All right.
You go off of these tirades and there's 20 minutes later, it's like, oh, for fuck's sakes. Now, you mentioned you went on a date a while ago.
Hmm.
And there's been a girl in your Instagram feed that's a bit more frequent than the other ones. So what's been happening there?
Some things, but nothing serious. It's not a development of a... of the nature that I require a relationship status change on Facebook.
Well, I know you're not that kind of person.
Yeah,
so and that, I mean,
neither
no one's expecting that.
Neither is the girl in question, and she's we're just what is the word? Vibing.
God, I've got so much respect for you as a human being until you said vibing. What the?
No, I know. Come on. No, come on. I mean, that's the word that everybody...
Oh, we're just vibing. Go with your handle of the English language and you're just going to end with vibing.
Okay,
is that what you guys...
I don't know vibing. That it's certainly nothing serious. I can't be serious about
it. Spend
this.
The night.
Jesus, Ben. I mean, really, you know, I'm giving you an easy ride on all the Daniela messages I'm getting here.
I'm so awkward right now.
But why? This is a line of questioning that's just normal.
Yes, occasionally.
Okay. Oh, gee. Well, sorry. That was so fucking hard.
No, it wasn't so hard. Go on.
Ben, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, look, Gugu's coming.
Gugu's just running like a puppy. His tail's fucking wet. So
he ran in like Odie.
Go ahead, Ben.
All right, what
continue.
Else, Ben? What else do you want
to know? No, just a fair question. I'm not looking to pry.
Sure.
Because ultimately, your happiness is all that matters to me in my life.
Cool.
And I'm just curious because then there was no more questioning. There was no more conversation around it.
Well, these people are not that interested in me, unfortunately.
No, we just know. I know Gareth very well, and I know he's a very private person, so I would never...
Yeah, we're all private to a certain degree, but I mean...
We're
doing a show. Like, this, the show is who we are as people.
No, you know, I've always said, the last thing you want to do is be decisive about stuff like that. Emotional stuff is not stuff... And if you are attracted to someone or something happens and something's good... You kind of just go with the flow. Mm. The worst thing people can do is put massive
labels.
Expectations and stuff in the way. Because the minute you do that, you change everything. It's like, it's sort of like relativity.
Mm-hmm.
And in scientific theories like relativity, they say the observer actually changes the experiment, right? By observing something, you change the nature of what's going on. You change the inputs and the outputs to the energy and everything else. And I think that a lot of people have this really childish notion that every time they have feelings for someone, or every time they start a relationship, that this is the one and it's going to be like that forever. And inevitably, those people end up crying and miserable because it didn't work out the way they expected, instead of just going with it and seeing where it goes.
Expectations are a horrible thing. It ruins many, many things.
Yeah, just do whatever you want. Have your fun. Be with someone. While it's working, appreciate what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Nothing is forever. And I think people must, appreciate the moment. Live in the moment.
And if you've got someone that mirrors those sentiments, Gareth, then I'll be amazed.
Because look, generally people have expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I bring it up.
At some point, Garrett, you gotta step it up, you know? You can't just flow forever. For how long?
Says the guy who steals his neighbor's keys and hasn't had a meaningful relationship his whole life.
I have.
I take that back.
Ended in tears. Google, don't want to talk about
Google, what happened to that pseudo dating show which sounded like you were being catfished into organ transplants?
It's finally coming soon.
Okay, but
I put it on yesterday or two days ago.
Just always watch what you drink, because you wake up in a bath of ice, and then it's no longer a fun show.
No, it was a very reputable show.
We spoke about it. It's
called First Date.
I missed that show. I just thought literally someone was looking after you. You're going for your kidneys.
No.
Okay. That's nice to know. Well done.
We're on track.
Next week is going to be fun. This is according to Miguel again. He says, Ben and Gugu, it's going to be like Laurel and Hardy. Take your time, Sia and Gareth. Maybe you should be there for a month.
So why isn't Gord here next week? I know he, from time to time, he's got stuff on, but he was stuffing stuff on. He
doesn't like me anymore.
Gord can do one thing a day. We figured this out.
Like I said, I listen to the show as much as I can.
Gord has missed you, by the way. He did say last time he was in here.
Sure, I miss Gord.
Yeah.
But one of the funny things I've heard in quite some time was, Gugu, it was just strange because obviously you're developing a lot more in the show. You're a lot more comfortable with sharing more views, and now you're in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And then how you sort of erupted over Gord and how he just damaged the Dalton so hard the one day. And then Gord eventually, because Gord's... I mean, you know, refer to Gord as like a lovable Labrador kind of guy, but you poke him, he'll show the teeth, and he wanted to elbow you in the head. I mean, like,
he was very angry. He was angry. He didn't talk to you that morning.
Yeah, no, he was quite angry. But I wasn't lying, Ben. Like, I didn't make that shit up.
No, look, we all love Gord, but I mean, I've seen him go to that toilet a couple of times, and he meant business. And
yes,
he went in there like he had like stuff was going to go down. Fuck. Like an executioner approaching, like the.
Oh my word!
That was one of the funniest pieces of the show. So long.
Ben actually sent me a cut that he'd
made. No. He sent it to me too, and that was the first time listening to it.
Oh, let me remind you: this week, our debating show, The Interchange, discusses how developing states can best leverage the opportunities of the fourth industrial revolution. Can we accelerate the development and implementation of emerging science and technology to the benefit of citizens, society, and the public interest? And in doing so, are we able to learn from the mistakes of the past in order to mitigate massive exclusions, human rights violations, and regulatory lag? Well, if you're intelligent enough to even understand what I just said, you're probably intelligent enough to listen to The Interchange, which is on cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts, and it's made possible by Absa and Simong. If you haven't heard these debates, I encourage you to take a listen. First of all, you'll hear that there are actually a lot of smart people in this country.
There are still, yeah.
Because if you listen to the news and you see what politicians and people on the street sound like, you're going to think you're living in a country where everyone's been lobotomized. But actually, the smart people are in shows like The Interchange. And if you listen to it, you will be impressed. You will feel positive. You will feel optimistic, in fact. So there's a lot going on there that you need to pay attention to. All right, Leanne, anything else that you want to throw in?
Just that there is something new to worry about in your diet.
Oh, no.
Forever chemicals are in your popcorn.
What?
And in your blood.
What are forever chemicals?
That's the ones that, you know, like it takes 7 years to digest pepper.
Yeah, but that's
a natural thing.
Listen,
though.
I was so terrified as a child when I first heard this, because I actually imagined that the pepper was sitting in you for 7 years.
It does get into the crevices of your colon.
Stop it, Leanne. You're upsetting everybody.
No, there's nothing to worry about. And do you really care?
You are
this is about this is about something in packaging just called PFAS.
Hold on. Can we just finish with the pepper? What happens is, if the pepper was in you for 7 years, it would take you that long to digest it. But you do get it out. You don't have... Every person who's ever eaten pepper doesn't have like a huge sack somewhere in their colon.
What's that bowl? Oh, it's my pepper crop.
Okay, understood.
Although some people, it does look like they got a pepper crop right under their chins.
So this has got to do with packaging. So think about some...
Poking me in his pepper crop, that's where it really hurts.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, no, full of little black peppercorns. So this is in the packaging.
Okay, Mildred, is that cancer? No, my pepper.
Is that a goiter? No, lots of pepper last week. But now, Leanne, is this popcorn as in like, isn't this the, when you get it in that little thing, you put it in the microwave?
Microwave, yeah. So in that packaging, if you wonder why the grease doesn't actually seep through that bag,
yes,
and some pizza boxes, the grease doesn't seep through.
Grease.
What's in that pizza box is called per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAs.
Oh, I don't want any of that. It sounds dreadful.
Right. Mm. It's used in a lot of packaging, and when you put hot pizza in it or you microwave it.
Why are you spoiling some of the few things people have to make their...
I want to ask you, do you care? I don't care.
You're going to die anyway.
Exactly. Really?
So they called forever chemicals because, again, your body doesn't know how to break these down. So if you ingest...
So it's like Oros, right? Because Oros is a forever liquid.
Definitely.
Just stains your intestine.
Oros.
So it has... It's a possible carcinogen. It has a half-life of 92 years in the environment. And 2 to 8 years in the human body.
Okay, well, hang on a sec. I'm going to call bullshit. Who's been watching this for the last 92 years? Well, still here.
This is true.
My life's work.
Do you remember when we bought a hamburger from a fast food outlet and we kept it in the studio?
Yes, early days.
We kept it for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing did not rot.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. I've seen the like videos on social media, but I didn't think it was real.
I also thought it was a myth, but it's actually real.
We kept it in a jar on top of the fridge for a long time, remember? And we specially labeled it like, do not touch.
Or do not eat.
Experiment in progress. We had a biohazard sign, everything. And we watched that thing for about a year and a half. And
it just lived.
Nothing happened. You know, usually on a loaf of bread, you get the bread mold, the fungus, right?
Yeah,
it starts to decompose.
5 days or so. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't. You can't keep bread beyond a week.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So this bread that was on top of this hamburger
just lived on.
Nothing wrong. Looked as good as Joan Rivers.
That's some scary
she
shit.
She never changed. I mean, Joan Rivers, if she hadn't died, she'd still look like that right now. Joan Rivers never changed. For the last 40 years of her life, not a single change to that face.
Yeah.
Because she'd had it plasticized, right? So the same thing happens, obviously, in these bread rolls.
Mm. Exactly. So it's not going to stop me from eating popcorn.
No, you're not going to stop. You don't care. You've got grease traps now in places you didn't know.
And pepper crops.
My grease traps and pepper crops are giving me rather a lot of indigestion at the moment, you know. God, how disgusting.
So how long did you guys keep this pet burger of yours?
No, someone eventually threw it up by mistake. I was quite upset about it.
Can imagine.
We'd put in a lot of effort. Jane, I just want to call Jane Malachi, who's obviously going to be very surprised. Jane, won't you call her? Mum Jane, won't you come here to the microphone, please? I want to just catch up with Jane quickly, see what's going on.
She's still as cantankerous as ever, I guess.
I'm good, and you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mum Jane?
Ooh, okay.
Hi, Jane.
Oh, you know what? I'm so happy to see you.
Ben's here.
So, finally, are you back? Oh, sorry, Papa G.
Yeah.
I forgot that you called me.
No, go on. Talk to Ben. That's the whole reason I called you.
Oh, Ben, I'm so happy to see you.
Why? You hate me. Why are you happy to see me?
I hate you when I don't see you. But when I see you, I feel like, I don't know, there's something that I was missing.
Yeah,
between me and you fighting every day.
We don't know what we're missing until it's
Jane
gone.
Jane admitted to me the other day she actually misses you. Do you miss Mabali?
Ach, no. Actually, I miss you a lot. I don't.
That's very touching, Jane.
are you back or you just came to visit?
Just visiting, and then next week when everyone's going away, I'll be here for the whole week.
Oh my God, I'm so happy that I'm going to see you almost every day.
Almost every day for a week, Joan. And then
just come back, Ben. And we know that you don't have anything to do.
Yeah. By the end of next week, Jane's going to be like, foot sack.
There it is. There's the knife. I was waiting for it.
No, actually, I'm not going to do that because I'm still like creating like love between me and him because we fight a lot when we see each other almost every day. But because we haven't seen each other for like a while now, we're going to love each other forever.
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, sure. Yeah.
She said you guys are like cats and snake.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Jane's a snake, that's for sure.
So you're a cat. So I'm chasing you all the time.
Cool.
All right, well, do you think Ben is looking healthy and happy? Here it comes.
Braces.
Was that sounds of admiration
but
or questioning?
Fresh. I can say you look fresh.
Yeah. Okay.
I had a decent night's sleep last night for once.
You've been taking care of yourself.
Thank you.
Even though I know, but I can't say, but it's fine.
But what? Go on.
No.
You need to get it off your chest. Go on, Jane.
I'm not going to say anything. I'll speak
no,
to
you. No, you're allowed. You have full permission. You cannot get into trouble for what you're about
no,
to say.
No, because I still want me and Ben to be like lover. I don't want to create any enemies between us, but it's okay. But I can see
that
you've been taking
care of
yourself.
Do you have any idea of what
yourself.
She's on about here?
Not really. It sounds like a Shaggy song she's trying to break into.
Actually, I was wanting to talk about your love life.
Oh.
Yeah,
well, I understand. Okay.
That's probably not my best aspect of life right now. Yeah.
So what she's saying is you look good despite...
Being alone, so alone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jane. Your compliments aren't obvious, but they're nice and very much appreciated.
It was completely obvious to me. Did you guys not pick that up at all?
No, Ben. We obviously didn't have female intuition.
I don't know. Maybe you and Jane got a WhatsApp group of like...
No, maybe we just are in tune to human life.
So I feel like the way you look like you went back to the gym because of, you know, sometimes most of the people when they go through breakup, they just look sexy. Look at you. You look perfect.
Unscathed. This is easily the longest string of compliments. I'm thinking there's got to be an insult at the end.
No, I'm not going to do that.
She's already said I'm mostly unemployed, but I mean, apart from that, Jane, this is lovely. Thank you. Very, very appreciated kind words.
Ah, here is a good point. Someone on WhatsApp says, Jane, tell the truth. Are you really happy just because Danielle is single?
We are not sure that she's single because life is good out there. She's the only one
who knows that she's
single. Even Ben will never know because Ben is not with her now.
You were always good friends with her more than Ben. So
me and Sia, we talk about this that we're going to drop Daniela now because we love Ben more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sia Sangweni, he's like, Ben, I'm on your side. I was like, Sia, we're not taking sides. I mean, this woman's still in my life. I still care about her.
Yeah.
I'm hating
because
her.
We even unfollow her on Instagram because...
Oh, the fishiness is real.
Yeah, because sometimes Ben is gonna be painful for us when he's so seeing her like posting some stuff that we're not gonna like.
Yeah, all right, I wanna just bring up one other thing because I watched Deadpool 2 again the other day. It was on
great
TV.
Movie.
It's a great movie, but I do think that you have an uncanny resemblance, not only in appearance but also in sense of humor to Ryan Reynolds.
It's very,
very obvious to me, and I think that's probably why Miguel here says, Ben, check out the Deadpool. Oh, he means the Deadpool, death pool,
which Gugu's now taken over. We established that over that call.
Yeah. Oh yes,
so, I remember that.
I have made a small amount of progress on the death pool because Robert Mugabe died, but it wasn't a lot of points.
Lucky you,
wasn't a lot of points. I think you might still be in the lead.
No, I think Sia was because Sia had McCain? John McCain?
John McCain. That
John
was
McCain was handy. He was like 20, was the high teen points. Yeah.
That was good.
But I think what you need is someone like...
you need a young, like a Bieber or a...
You need Bieber to die or something like that. That's really... That'll get your head.
Straight up to the top.
It'll really get your nose in front.
All right. Well, this is all we got time for. It's already 8:00. George Meany sent us an Auto Central Power Pod, which will play out now. Ben will be here next week, so you can get your fill.
Yes, I'll be here. I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
That's correct.
And yes, I will do sport again.
And Google will be here. Leanne will be here, and we will check in from New York as well if we can.
Very good. Have a good trip.
All right. Excellent. Everybody, behave, and we will see you on Monday. Excellent. Here's George Meany. He's actually traveling, so he's somewhere international as well.
And he said, girl, I think.
Is he also an alcoholic tracksuit pants?
Probably. And here he is. Here's George Meany.
Morning, Gareth. Leanne, how's it? Sia. I'm
George, Sia's not here.
To you from Portugal, a little town called Cascais. And my perception of Portugal before I came here was one of a third world country, and I'm pleasantly surprised. This country is definitely first world, friendly people, very laid back. I think because they're at the bottom of Spain, they believe in the siesta. Sun rises very late here after 7 o'clock and sets late at about 7:30. But the one thing that struck me when I got here was the vivid colors. The sky is bluer than the skies in Johannesburg, or even the sky in Cape Town for that matter, and the greens are greener. I don't know if it's got something to do with the pollution in South Africa, or maybe we just, I don't know, close to the sun. Maybe the atmosphere is a little bit thinner. On the motoring front, Generation E, in partnership with Nissan and a couple of other vehicle brands, in particular the Jaguar I-Pace and the BMW i3, are currently on a road trip from the 3rd of October from Johannesburg to Cape Town. And their intent is obviously not to use a drop of fuel. As I said, the final destination is Cape Town, and will be reached via Bloemfontein, Gerib Dam, Graaf Reinet, Port Elizabeth, Knysna, and Worcester. The trip is expected to take about 6 days, so a few sleepovers I'm taking it, although there'll be plenty of activities along the way. And you can, or could have, joined in the fun by visiting the AC/DC Dynamics charging station launch ceremony at Travel Inn and Shell Ultra City in Kroonstadt on October the 3rd from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Test driver BMW i3, Nissan Leaf, and Jaguar I-Pace at Boardwalk Hotel, Port Elizabeth on October the 5th at 4:30. Learn about the latest innovations in electric mobility by taking a tour of the UWillow e-mobility program at the Nelson Mandela University on October the 7th from 8:30. Witness the power of electric vehicles as the road trippers take part in the Sunrise Regeneration Challenge at Simola Yill on October the 8th from 5:30. And celebrate the launch of another AC/DC Dynamics charging station and enjoy test driving the vehicles and experiencing them at the Vineyard Hotel Cape Town on October the 9th from 11. So I suppose you could have done that, but the road trip's almost done. And I look forward to seeing the stories that come out. How many of these cars are going to get stuck? How many are going to make it? How many are not? Now, the next story is, how long do you think the longest Uber trip has been? And let me tell you, 600 kilometers from Port Elizabeth to East London in the Eastern Cape. This was the longest Uber trip ever taken. I wonder, you know, how long other people's Uber trips have been. Has it been, I mean, my Uber trips have never been longer than about, or further than about 10 kilometers max. I wonder what the average Uber trip is. You know, I mean, 600 kilometers, that must have cost a frickin' penny. Or should I say a couple of pounds? Then Toyota is working on robots to assist the aged. Many countries around the world are experiencing a growth in the elderly population, and Toyota has put these robots into a research institute, and they are designed to learn from each other. So like Teslas learn from each other from driving on the roads all over the world, and Tesla's clocked up, you know, more miles than any other electric vehicle and goes into their service. Toyota's doing exactly the same thing, except with robots for the aged. Now, is this the time of the robots taking over the world? Don't know, but they're attacking the aged first. And currently, only prototypes of this robot exist, and Toyota doesn't yet have a date of when these robots will hit the market, but you know, let's wait and see. And then finally, have you ever come out to your parked car and seen it scratched or bumped? Well, this one driver in America came out after parking his car and saw the back bumper of his car heavily scratched and a note left on the bonnet. And he posted this note on Twitter. But what the note said was, "Yo, I hit your car. I'm leaving this note because someone's watching. Wait, they're still looking. Okay, now I'm good. My bad. Peace out, man." The guy wasn't cross at all. He posted the note on Twitter and said, "Hands down to the funniest thing that ever happened to me." And this tweet got 40,000 shares and 69,000 likes. You can go and have a look at it. We'll tweet a copy of the note as well. That's it from me. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Leanne. Cheers, Sia. CliffCentral.com.